Here we are in Kingfisher High, Jim. You've got your binoculars to your face.
Yes, as always.
What can we see?
Well, did you hear the robin just there? He's just singing his wintry song to the side of us now. So they have a rather melancholy song they start about now and sing right through the winter. Got a mute swan just coming through the gap here, just below the window. This lake's quite big, so it can hold several pairs of swans. In fact, sometimes you could maybe have 20 or 30 swans on here, and they don't beat each other up all the time. Whereas if you have a small pond, you can only have a pair of swans. Mm. You can see Mrs. Swan over there, the cob with her cygnets. She's got two left. And you've got these things that look like floating bedsteads.
Yes.
Out there, or they're actually rafts for the terns to nest on, because they like to nest on islands. And we did it as an experiment, really. We put the first one up, towed it out through the gap here below us and up the lake. And do you know, that's a green sandpiper just flown across.
Wow.
Further up there. That's another wintering wader. Yeah. The tern rafts. We put the first one in, towed it up between the islands here, and a pair of terns followed it. They followed it up, and then as soon as it was anchored, they were on it.
Wow.
And they were the first pair that nested on it. And I think that pair had been raised on a tern raft somewhere else.
Really?
Because they knew what it was for, even before it was anchored.
Yeah.
They were straight on it. You get about 7 pairs per raft. It's quite a decent productivity. And you can see there's some little bits of drain pipe on the rafts. And that is so that when it's too hot, the chicks can hide in the tubes. Or if there's a predator coming, they can duck into the tubes. Then it's got Perspex screen all the way around the outside, and this stops things like mink climbing into it, stops Canada geese from nesting on them, it stops cormorants going sitting on them all the time. So this is sort of the latest design, these ones. And normally we'd have them towed away now and put them on the shore, clean them up, ready for next year. But unfortunately the water level's so low, we can't get the boat out and tow them away at the moment. So they're just sitting on the bottom, most of them.
Is that a common thing for the water level to be low this time of year?
No, there's 2 years running now, the water level's extremely low. It's naturally low on all of our lakes at the moment because of the lack of rain. The level in the lakes is nearly the level of the river across the bank. So because it's all gravel, the ground's quite permeable. The other factor, though, is that the gravel company sucks water out of this lake to wash the sand. And then they put the dirty water, if you like, into the next lake up. And it comes back through a pipe. Of course, you get a lot of wastage and a lot of evaporation and so on. So it never quite makes up for what's gone. It's about as low as I've ever seen it, which is good for some of the birds. And at nesting time, we want it back up again because some of the islands are no longer islands.
So it's a wonderful vista that we're looking at here, right to the edge over there. So idyllic and tranquil.
Yes.
And then over to our left, they've got another little island there that you have. So what have we got over there?
Well, there's actually, it's not an island, it's a long peninsula.
Ah.
There's a little island here, which is, oh yeah, let's look at that first, because that's pretty good. So I've got some big Canada geese that you can see quite clearly with the naked eye.
Yes.
And it is Canada geese, not Canadian geese. Canada geese is the right name. As they're not named after the country, they're named after the Indian word for beaver dams, which is what the country was named after as well. and then there's a load of ducks on there as well, which are mostly gadwall. People think duck, it's going to be a mallard. And mallards are actually not as common here as quite a few others. Gadwall, there's a pair nearer us, they're quite grey looking, white wing flash instead of a blue one. And it's quite an all-purpose duck, just feeds on the surface, it can't dive. They never used to be here. They were introduced into East Anglia, we think, and spread. Mm. They've done the same across America, they've spread like mad. So it's one of our commonest ducks. There are some mallards on there. And the other ones that interest me, the ones down on our left here, are widgeon. And they've just come down from Iceland to spend the winter. If you go to places like Welney, you can see thousands of them. Sometimes we have thousands of them. And it all depends on how much water there is in the Ouse washes. Mm. So if it's dry, they come and land here first. Mm. And then somehow they know to move when it floods up there. So they tend to come in here early in the autumn and then disappear in midwinter, unless the water's too deep in the fens, and then they come back again. To them, it's just a hop, skip and a jump. It's all one big wetland through here.
Yeah. It's great that we've got so many nature reserves in Cambridgeshire.
Yes.
And that you all kind of provide pit stops, in a way, for the migrating birds.
Yes, and there is a strategy in that, actually. I mean, people like the RSPB have their Ouse Fen project, and that's pulling together a bunch of reserves, really. And then the Wildlife Trust have the Great Fen project. And then we've got these gravel pits down here, and they're all part of the same network, and we all talk to each other. And so there is a strategy involved in creating this sort of network of wetlands. Grafham water is part of it as well. Mm. Not much shorebirds there, but a lot of huge numbers of coot and things winter on there as well. Mm. So yeah, in fact, this site, these nature reserves are all SSSIs, sites of special scientific interest. And this one, was where we're sitting now, was actually declared for its rare flies, really, quite inconspicuous things. The rest of the reserve to the north, there's a second SSSI, which was really for its wintering wildfowl, and that's got more deep water.
Isn't the insect fraternity getting a little bit low in numbers?
A little bit. 70% down in my lifetime, a lot less than my lifetime, yes, across Europe by weight. And we're losing species as well, but it's a huge decline in insect life. To be honest, I was in Herefordshire last week and surrounded by moths, and the windscreen got splattered all over the place, and it's a much wetter part of the country, so that helps. It's mostly livestock and orchards, which again produces a lot of insect life. And the swallows and house martins were still nesting over there, whereas they'd given up here weeks ago because there really wasn't much for them to eat. So we've got this big loss in insect life. And in fact, interestingly, I was at a workshop the other day run by Bug Life from Peterborough, and they are mapping the most important sites in Cambridgeshire for bugs. Interestingly, of course, as you'd expect, most of the sites that are important are already nature reserves, but not all of them. Mm. But there's a big sweep along the River Ouse that is important. And so they're going to call these important bug areas or important. I worked on important bird areas previously. Today, actually, we're meeting with the Dragonfly Society about important dragonfly areas. And this is one of them.
Oh,
or it's just about to be declared, we hope, today. The discussions today, it will be declared one of the top dragonfly sites in the UK. Dragonflies, interestingly, are quite mobile, and we seem to get a new species here every few years. They seem to be doing relatively well compared to a lot of other insects, but they're big robust things.
Yes.
And they're moving, and with climate change we're getting new species coming in all the time into Britain, whereas some of the smaller vulnerable things that are dependent on, you know, more specialist habitats are really struggling. We used to get big clouds of midges over the trees here in the summer, which we're not getting nearly as much. I don't think it's water quality. I don't know what's going on. Those trees would all have big smoky clouds of mating midges over them. And we do see it, but nothing like it was, you know, 10 years ago.